Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
This is Liberty Unite with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee, and it's Dumb Bleep of the Week. That's the day of the week where the live group gets to vote on the dumbest thing said in politics. This is a response to a Ben Shapiro post. It's a response posted by Gretchen Carlson. Gretchen Carlson used to be an anchor on Fox News. I believe she was let go because of her stance on guns. She's not at Fox News anymore. Ben Shapiro is posting a clip about how he won't give up his AR-15. Gretchen Carlson says, ordinary people didn't have AR-15s before 2004. That's when the federal assault weapons ban ended, by the way. So before 2004, ordinary people just weren't, like, in all time, in the history of the United States, ordinary people weren't allowed to have those. This is someone who used to be an anchor on Fox News. They're not some time-honored American tradition. They're a recent mistake that we could fix and save thousands of lives in the process. There are so many things
wrong
inside of it. You'd have to find the thousands of lives that are killed by our AR-15s, and you wouldn't even be able to do that. Some time-honored American tradition. It is an American tradition that the people have weapons like the military does, because the whole purpose of us being able to have guns is so we can hold off the tyrannical government. So that is a time-honored American tradition. And then there's the whole people didn't have AR-15s before 2004.
I mean, Remington has been making 223s for a long time.
The AR, let me see, I believe this goes back to something around 1959 or so, and then they got really popular in the 60s or 70s. I did look up something, just a real quick thing. Two lines of rifles, the AK-47 and Colt's AR-15 became two leading models of semi-automatic military-style rifles in the 1960s and 70s. I do think they came out in the 50s, though, although that could have been something like an AR-7 or 10 or whatever. Thanks to U.S. law, civilians had access only to the semi-automatic versions of these rifles. And they just go through how everyone was able to get them until 1994. Bill Clinton signed the assault weapons ban, which outlawed the sale of AR-15s, didn't take away all the AR-15s or semi-automatic rifles that people had at that time. It just outlawed the sale of newly built AR-15s for 10 years, and then the ban expired. Now, they weren't as popular before the ban as a percentage of the guns that people were buying. I actually think that the assault weapons ban had a reverse effect from what people wanted. I think that it made people want to go out and get these rifles after they were no longer banned, more so than they wanted to beforehand.
Sales increased exponentially.
Yeah, so these are sales as a percentage of, well, actually, these aren't sales. These are production. So a percent of U.S. guns produced during that ban. You were more around 3% before the ban. You were like around 2% of U.S. guns produced before they were banned. So, yeah, they weren't.
Even while they were banned, it was still going up.
And then while they were banned, it still increased from about.
Probably because they were preparing for when the ban ended.
For about 2.5% up to 4% while they were banned. And then from that point on, they really started to shoot up. And I actually think that it is because of the ban that these guns became so popular.
Of course.
But Gretchen Carlson is just flat out wrong that people didn't have them before this. No, they weren't as common, but people had them.
Yeah. So that was a dumb.
So that's
a dumb.
That's part of dumb bleep number one.
Okay.
That's part one of six of dumb bleep number one.
She made a dumb, and other people made a dumb about AR-15.
And then now here's the fine folks over at The View. This is them talking after
what
the shooting.
What a great screenshot. Blow that up.
Of course, same thing.
How many opiates is she on? Wow.
Actually, I would guess probably a lot, but I'm just making that up. I have no clue whatsoever. Here's what they had to say.
Look at those eyes.
About AR-15s.
Sarah didn't get a chance to weigh in on the topic of what happened in Maine and AR-15s.
Yeah, I would love to see an assault weapons ban. Like President Reagan, I don't believe they're a sport or hunting instrument. It's like shooting fish in a bucket, but that's my...
But take. Also, if you shoot with an AR-15, let's say you shoot a deer, you can't eat it.
But, okay, hold on. We'll go back a little bit, but yeah. First off... Why does an AR-15 make the situation like shooting fish in a bucket, whereas another gun wouldn't be shooting
fish? I only shoot fish in a barrel.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about buckets right now.
I don't
you
really,
got fish
yeah.
in a bucket. To me, that pertains more to the environment that you're shooting things in. Like, it's different if you're shooting fish in a bucket as opposed to a barrel or as opposed to the ocean or a lake or something. So... shooting fish in a bucket, as she said, would be like when you're talking about killing people in a small enclosed space, like they're all right there and you can just kind of shoot and hit someone. I don't know what an AR-15 has to do with that. Like, it seems like any gun would work like shooting fish in a bucket in a small area.
Well, except for like a musket.
It's like shooting fish in a bucket, but that's my...
But also, if you shoot with an AR-15, let's say you shoot a deer, you can't eat it. Because you basically demolish
the animal. In addition to that, but the hunt is about an actual difficult...
That's actually not true. It's not true at all. If you shoot a deer with an AR-15, you're not going to blow it up. Just it actually make a really small hole.
The confidence with which she says this. Like, if you shoot a deer with an AR-15, you can't eat it. You're going to demolish the animal.
It's actually not true. Oh.
Okay, then we have Kamala Harris when she's in Australia, because for some reason they had her come talk in Australia. And it's really what she says at the end of this clip. Right here. So let's just start halfway through.
To local authorities. And as we gather details, we must continue to speak truth about the moment we are in. In our...
And the truth about the moment is that it is the moment that we are in.
Yes.
And it is true.
Which is now.
Today, the leading cause of death of American children is gun violence.
No. The leading cause of death are injuries from guns, technically, for children in America, as long as you cut off the age at the specific spot. They actually, I think they go up to 18 on this one, and so anyway, they start to grab people who are technically adults. But no, it's injuries from guns, and half of those are suicides.
Yeah.
So she
and
says
most are handguns.
Yeah, most of them are handguns, and half of them are suicides. So when she says the leading cause of death is gun violence, some of that violence is violence perpetrated by yourself to yourself. But whatever.
The leading cause of death of American children is gun violence. Gun violence has terrorized and traumatized so many of our communities in this country. And let us be clear, it does not have to be this way, as our friends in Australia have demonstrated.
All right, so that's the Vice President of the United States talking about Australia. I always go back to this, Charlie, but at one point in time, you were called a fearmonger for saying that they wanted to take your guns.
Uh-huh.
You know, you remember that?
Yep.
And now you got the Vice President of the U.S. using Australia as her example mm-hmm. for how it doesn't have to be this way anymore.
Right. That way they can control us the way Australia government controlled their citizens during the COVID lockdown.
There's one thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So much easier to control population. And then you got Australia who had like two mass shootings before they did their mandatory gun buyback program that they did. Don't quote me on that specific number. I'm probably exaggerating that just a little bit. It was probably one. But the other thing we don't have to go into why this would work better in a place like Australia, but a couple things you could say, not that we're even going to consider ever doing this in the U.S. or that it would ever even be possible. If you're going to take an island that has the population of the state of California and say that you're going to control the guns in that population, it would be way easier to do that than in a place that has 10 times the amount of people, a 2,000 mile long border that's got like 50 miles of fence on it. And, you know, it's just way, way harder thing to do. Not that we would ever even consider doing that, because it would be impossible in the first place to even try and do. There's freaking 450 million guns out there.
Or whatever the number is. Isn't she just riveting, by the way? Like every speech she gives.
So good.
Just, I can't stop listening.
She's technically the number two most popular person behind Joe Biden when it comes to who should run for president. All right, then we got this girl, Ali Samarco. Samarco, 15 seconds here of her spoiling parts of your brain. And so she says that banning weapons of war on the street isn't about infringing on you. It's about protecting you. So
imagine you're in a bowling alley with a handgun and a perpetrator walks in with a military style weapon and a bulletproof vest. There's literally no way you're going to be able to defend yourself. Banning these weapons of war on the street isn't about infringing on you. It's about protecting you.
The confidence in which these people speak.
Yeah.
Just look, if somebody walks in with a bulletproof vest and a military style rifle, even if you've got a handgun, there's nothing you can do. There's literally nothing you can do.
So there's one thing. This is a thing.
Well, thanks, Alyssa.
The opposite world. Now, she is pretending like the world that she would create, or people that think like her would create, is that you wouldn't have your gun. Maybe you'd even have your handgun, but then that guy wouldn't walk in because he wouldn't be allowed to have that gun.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual world is, imagine you're in a bowling alley and you have a handgun and a guy walks in with an AR-15. And what are you going to do to defend yourself? Her other real option is, imagine you're in a bowling alley and you don't have a gun at all and a guy walks in with an AR-15.
Yeah.
That's the real world that she's proposing, because the government can't get all of the guns off the street. So I don't like pretending like that's even an option and playing that game with her. Also, there is something like, it's not like a bulletproof vest is just, has anyone ever been killed wearing a bulletproof vest? Charlie, do you think it's just like, oh, I put this on, I can go into war and not worry about anything?
Yeah.
Like, no, there's places. There's places where you can get hit. I guarantee you people have been killed while they're wearing a bulletproof vest. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you could even slow the person down, or maybe even scare the crap out of them, something like that. She responds, because a lot of people said things that we did. She says, literally the replies on this show how many Republican men actually think that they could actually take out a shooter with an AR-15 with zero training. And what her alternative option is that you stay there and you wait like fish in a bucket until the cops get there or the guy decides to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what's your plan, Allie? You're going to hold small children in front of you as you make your way to the exit? Is that your plan? Yeah. I'm glad that these people are outing themselves, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, sure.
You just put her on a list. A person I would never talk to.
There you go. She's on a list.
Yeah.
You made Charlie's list. Yeah. That's tough to do, you know?
Yeah.
Matt Gaetz.
Do you know how many guns she probably could get, by the way, with the amount of Botox?
Oh, yeah. She could have a whole arsenal.
She could have there. She could have gun safes full of guns.
The question, you see, she's not worried about this because her face is bulletproof. All right. Number two is Matt Gaetz.
Oh, I know how much Botox is, unfortunately, because I paid for way too much.
You paid for a lot of it.
Yeah. Jesus. Man.
Okay, Matt Gaetz. Go ahead, Charlie. Number two.
Oh, so now, okay, so that was all.
That was all number one.
That was all
sorry.
Dumb one.
Okay. AR-15s.
Mm-hmm. All right, number two, Matt Gaetz. He says, Israel is a land with a 4,000-year connection to our faith. Ukraine is a former Soviet state. These are not the same thing and should be considered independently.
Okay, so as a sitting U.S. congressman in, you're deciding how the U.S. government is going to spend money to fund or not fund wars around the world. You're going to take people's tax money and you're going to decide to support or not support different war efforts around the world. I'm not sure that I'm cool with the connection to the Bible being a reason that you would use as a U.S. congressman to decide that one is different than the other. Maybe there are other more strategic reasons, or maybe you could just not support either one of them with people's money or whatever. But I do not like the idea that someone who is in the U.S. government literally coming out and saying, well, this is connected to our Christian faith, and so therefore we must defend Israel with your money. But Ukraine has nothing to do with our religious Christian faith, and so therefore we should not use your money to do anything.
Yeah, we shouldn't. No. What, are you feel like you're ordained by God to steal people's money and get involved in a war? It's like, I'm not saying that I'm not for, like, Israel. I mean, I personally believe, you know, that it is the land that Jesus walked. But these people have been fighting about this for thousands of years. Is it my place?
I mean, even if you're religious or not religious,
to go get involved?
I think there is historical fact that it is the land that Jesus walked, even right. If you're, you know, believe yeah. Son of God or not Son of God, but dude named Jesus.
But does,
you know,
is like, I don't know. I think the gospel is different than defending a land.
Yeah.
To me, it just doesn't make sense. How does this further? Let's talk purely Christian here. How does this further the kingdom of heaven? You know, we got to kill all the people who don't believe make sure that a certain group of people retain. I don't understand that.
Well, it's also a weird thing. Like, let's just say that you're looking at this as a Christian. Well, like, the people on this land deserve for our money to go towards them to defend their right to life, liberty, and property. But the people on the other land, because it's not our holy land, well, they don't deserve our money to go protect them, you know, from their invasion by Russia.
Yeah.
Just, I am not cool with the U.S. strategic military decisions and taxpayer money decisions being based on the religious significance of a piece of dirt on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
That's kind of dangerous, in my opinion, because how far will you go to protect that? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's dumb bleep number two. I don't know if you agree, if that's dumb.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. No, I mean, and then it's like, so what? The innocent Jews are more important than innocent Ukrainians? And I'm not for either one of them.
Mm.
I hate war.
Yeah.
I hate death. I don't. And on top of that, America shouldn't be involved in any of them.
Yeah.
I am bring all the troops home kind of libertarian. You know, let's defend America, not everyone else. And it seems as if,
yeah, but we
as we talked
them.
About yesterday, Israel's in a pretty good financial position to defend themselves. And I'm pretty sure that their military is a bit better than Hamas, last I checked. I mean, it seems as if they actually have planes. They're not paragliders.
We talked yesterday. They're at least in a good enough financial position that they should be taking out loans from us and not just be taking handouts from us. That would make much more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, dumbly number three.
Like, and to Copperhead's point here, like, it to me, that's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ's life was about anyway. And actually, most Jews don't even believe Jesus was the Messiah.
I think that's part of it.
And the Son
of
God, by the way.
Specifically, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I obviously believe that Jews are the children of God. I mean, that's very explicitly stated. However, most of them don't even believe that he's the Messiah, and it's not. So as a Christian, believing in Jesus, like the gospel of Jesus is to exude love.
Yeah.
Love people, love your enemies, you know, love God. It's literally all about love. So I don't think helping Israel bomb a group of people, and I'm not saying Israel can't defend themselves. I don't think we should be involved in either one.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make a case that it's okay to send our money to Israel because...
Based on religion.
Based on religion?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be against both of them.
So if you're not religious, can you skip out on those taxes?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
And also, are you saying there's no Christians in Ukraine that you shouldn't defend?
Probably some Christians, yeah.
Like, there's no logic. This is... The logical consistency is off the charts. Inconsistency. The logical inconsistency is off the charts with both the left and the right.
The consistency is below the charts.
Yeah, it's in hell.
Nina Turner says, this is dumb in a couple different ways, but she says, if we can afford war, we can afford reparations. If we can afford war, we can afford Medicare for all. blah, blah, blah. We can afford universal child care. We can afford college for all. We can afford universal basic income. So if we can afford those things, then we can afford all of these other things. Number one,
actually, we can't.
We can't afford war or the other things, but we are going to find a way to put money into it. Second, the cost of all those things is way more than we're going to spend on the war anyway. Even if I was going to take the stance that, like, oh, we can afford to help our friends in these countries, you're talking $113 billion to Ukraine so far, and 14.3 is what they're talking about, which just passed the House yesterday, but not going to go through the Senate. That's not enough to pay for the, I think they're talking about trillions of dollars worth of reparations is the number people have come up with. And Medicare for all, of course, another trillions and trillions more. Universal child care, college for all, more trillions. Universal basic income, literal multi-trillions every single year. So the math doesn't math on this one either, even if you were going to support what we're doing with war.
Yeah.
You can look at what we spent in the Middle East for, like, the war on terror.
It's about $10 trillion.
It's something like that. Mm-hmm. I've heard 7 to 10 in the
trillions. More, actually.
And
because the DOD lost.
Yeah.
They're still trying to figure out their accounting.
We'll never know how much money has actually gone out the window over there.
Yeah.
Or in the trunk of someone's car.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We're lost in the desert sand.
Number one, we can't afford it. Because we don't have any money.
I mean, just with our current programs we have like over $120 trillion of unfunded liabilities.
Yeah.
That's on the books.
It's a lot.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Too many. That's the $10 trillion we spent on the war on terror. Let's just say it's 10 to make it even. That's less than 10%
mm-hmm.
of what our current programs are. Not adding all these other ones. Medicare for all, universal child care, college for all, reparations, universal. Those are all additional programs.
Universal basic
income. To what we already have.
Alone, you're talking a couple $1 trillion a year for that. And you're talking trillions a year for Medicare for all. Chris Christie is giving a speech because I guess he's still running for president. That's still a thing that's happening. He's talking about free speech. And, of course, we've had issues with people saying mean things about Israel and people saying mean things about Jews.
It's $150
billion. Yeah.
A month.
A month. And then it comes out. No. I thought you were doing a yearly calculation. $1 trillion
a year. Just in universal basic income. And that's just to the 150 million taxpayers.
But if we can afford to give Israel $14 billion, we can afford $1.5 trillion. You know. You know. That's the same thing. Same.
It would be $1.8 trillion.
Yeah.
Every year, just for universal basic income.
Exact same thing.
And that's only giving 150 million people $1,000 a month.
Gosh, dang it!
$1,000 a month.
This whole time we forgot that math is racist.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Who cares about the numbers?
Coming right up, we're going to finish Dumb Bleep of the Week on Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
USA News Update. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has dismissed the GOP proposal linking Ukraine aid to border security.
A group of Senate Republicans released a proposal for border security that they want in exchange for Ukraine funding. And they know full well what they came up with is a total non-starter.
The White House is downplaying recent polls that indicate President Biden is behind Donald Trump in crucial battleground states. According to a survey conducted by the New York Times and Siena College, Trump is leading Biden in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Some Disney theme park guests find the wait for popular rides, which can exceed 90 minutes, too long. Reports on social media, corroborated by a book by ex-Disney custodians, claim that some guests resort to defecating while in line. Dave Collins, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Liberty Unite on the Free Talk Live Network with Nate and Chuck. We're right in the middle of our favorite segment, that's Dumb Bleep of the Week. Let's get back into it. Here's Chris Christie talking, and he's upset about people saying mean things about Jews.
Bye. And turning a blind eye to it. We know that they hide behind the falsity of free speech. There is a difference, everyone, between free speech and hate speech. There is a difference between free speech and violence. There is a difference between incitement and free speech. And what's going on our college campuses today is not free speech. It is hate speech. What's going on...
And people are clapping.
On our campuses today is...
Did we not just go through a long period of time before this happened where people on the right were arguing that, number one, hate speech didn't exist, and number two, get over it. Free speech is so you can say things that people don't like anyway, so mind your own business.
Shouldn't there be a limit on how many times you can run for president? Like, once you lose...
This guy needs all the running he can get, okay?
Once you lose, I don't know, three presidential campaigns, like, you can't run again. You didn't make it past 1% in three different presidential campaigns.
Yeah. However, if people want to keep throwing away their money towards people... You imagine... There are people who donate tons of money towards people's campaigns, knowing for sure that they're, oh, I'm not talking about chipping in $20 towards your local libertarian candidate on something. I'm talking about people giving over tens of thousands hundreds of thousands of dollars from super PACs and stuff towards people that you literally know are not going to win. But you're really buying favors. You're buying favors from them in the other ways that they have power. But no, this whole hate speech thing, all of a sudden, listen, I get it. People have said really mean things about Jews lately over the last few weeks. A lot.
We don't like it.
Dumb, really dumb, hateful stuff. And they even say stuff about like wanting them to die. Stuff that I've said about socialists. I've never said I wanted them to die. If I wanted to do that, I'd just let them continue being socialists. I don't like this idea all of a sudden that now, because you're saying the mean things about the Jews, now if you're actually, I guess, incitement, like real incitement, like really you're telling people, go kill that Jew, that kind of thing.
And this is so, and this is exactly why I'm going to reiterate the point why we talk about being principled and logically consistent on everything, even though sometimes it's fun. Like I will admit on this show that when Ron DeSantis took away Disney's land, that was fun.
Was it?
Yes. To be like, to almost punch back against like the woke.
I was too mad about it.
The woke idiocy. I'm like, it would be cool to have the power to be like, oh, you think you can do this? Watch this. I'll take this away from you. Part of the vengeance in me, my shadow, was like, yeah, that's awesome. But because I'm a principled person, I'm like, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now all these Republicans clapping at this idiot speech, you know, because they now want to use what the left was using against them. They want to punch back with the same thing. Be like, oh, well, this is hate speech. Then if you're going to define hate speech, we're going to define it too. And you get into this political battle, and rather than remaining logically consistent and principled and saying people can say things, you don't want other people telling you what you can and can't say. So you shouldn't be allowed to tell other people what they can and can't say. And so it's like you're just going to get into this this constant battle where the right is going to be using the same tactics that the left is using. And all you're trying to do is plug in your version of morality on other people versus just being a principled person and saying, I believe in ultimate free speech.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case is.
What people have to realize,
I believe in private property.
What people have to realize is that different people have the things that they care about. And for the right now, it's the Jews, and you don't want people saying the mean genocidal things about Jews. And I get it. It's terrible. But also the left feels that way about guys who think they're girls. And so when people on the right are out there being super mean about guys who are pretending to be girls all the time and saying mean stuff about how we shouldn't be doing these transitions and stuff like that, that's the same way that Chris Christie feels about people talking about Jews right now. And so at the end of the day, it all comes down to who has the gun. That's it.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that get to enforce their morality.
I will say Republicans have a lot more guns.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
All right, let's move. By the way, there's a community note on there saying that the Supreme Court has consistently and repeatedly affirmed that there is no hate speech exception in the First Amendment. This one we'll do real quick because we gotta go.
MAGA!
Dumb leap number 5, we're not even going to go into the article because honestly, the article barely had anything to do with the title. And you know what people do these days, they come up with the title because that's all that most people read. The title says something that people want to say to other people. And so people retweet or share or whatever the title of the thing. And most of the time, you end up not reading it. And so the title of this Salon article is MAGA and Christian nationalism, bigger threat to America than Hamas could ever be. And it's really just about a lot of political infighting and things. Now, they bring up some of this alleged Mike Johnson guy. I don't think he's real. And this guy and how he feels about the gays and all that. And so they're talking about Christian nationalism. Of course, that's a bigger threat than killing gay people, literally.
Beheading gays.
That's a great example for everyone. You know, what's funny is when I started talking, I didn't plan on making that example, that comparison at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of them. And
wherever you live, Brian, why don't you just invite Hamas over to your gay party?
Brian Karim. Karim. Yeah. Would you say Karim or Karim?
Karim.
Okay, we'll do that.
Just invite Hamas. Invite some Hamas apologists.
Yeah.
Over to your next gay party that you have and see what happens.
Oh man, gay parties are the best.
And invite some Christians. Invite some Hamas and some Christians.
Mm.
And see
Which one kills you
see
first?
See who beheads who.
I don't think we take these people seriously.
I don't know, man. You don't. You don't take. Well, some people do. That's the problem. Some people think that this is a real thing. Okay. Speaking of, let's do a couple things here. Well, let's play a couple videos. This one's called the misgendering for Dumb Leap number 6. The first one's actually kind of funny. To be truthful with you, it's more of a white pill than a dumb bleep, but I guess the person's reaction, the background here is, if you can't see the video, is that there is a guy, there's a biological male that has long hair and makeup on that is trying to do a TikTok filter that like accentuates your features and makes you like a prettier version of the picture. And this person's getting really mad that the TikTok filter has decided that he's a man every time. So here's that.
Filter keeps misgendering me. Look. No. No way. No way.
Earmuffs.
Okay, we're going to try this. Hell no. Oh my God. Okay, let's try again.
That's a good one.
Oh, it doesn't matter how much Botox he has either, you know? The amount of Botox you put in your face doesn't decide what gender you are.
Okay, and then this is a person that is going around the restaurants with a phone set up and catching all the times that he gets misgendered because he is dressed up in what would be traditional women's garments with curly hair and all that and lipstick on and is getting mad when the misgendering takes place.
It looks like he's having a nice feast.
Cheer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's okay. It's all good.
But it was not all good.
Hi. I use she, her pronouns. I'm not sir.
Oh, sir.
Yeah, like, it's like a knife in the heart. I also, I did specifically ask ahead of time not to be called sir. Yeah, I'm just going to go.
I use she, her pronouns.
I specifically asked.
Okay. The sweet water starts at, okay. Not,
I mean,
not,
I'm so sorry. I apologize.
You just always like a knife. It always hurts every single time.
I was wondering if there's a manager I could talk to about something that happened.
Yeah, I was called sir. It just really sucks every time it happens.
Sorry about that.
I don't need to be called ma'am. I just need to not be called sir.
Thank you.
Can you call me sir? I just want to tell you that the person who gave me this called me sir.
God.
Call me sir.
This, what a victim.
Such a victim.
It's like, it kind of just hurts a lot to get called sir. Very good. Right. Thank you so much. No. Oh, thank you. I'm not a sir.
Yeah, just have a good man-to-man conversation with
him. It hurts more, though, and it's not intentional because it means like this is sir to him. I know you didn't mean it, but I'm not a sir.
Okay, I'm done with this. I'm done.
Oh, God.
All right.
Nothing to even be said.
No,
you don't have to say anything.
I don't think we have to explain why that's dumb. All right.
I'm not a sir.
We're going to go through this one really fast also. There was an executive order that we could have talked about more this week, and it is the biggest executive order. This is like a 120-something page executive order on AI.
It's that not Biden definitely didn't write.
Not a law. Oh, yeah. It's not a law, Jack. Okay, so look. This one is about AI, and one of the provisions, very important, is advancing equity and civil rights. So they're going to govern the people making AI. Go ahead, Charlie.
President Biden has signed an executive order that will require AI companies to, quote, address algorithmic discrimination.
You know those algorithms.
This is from the order. Irresponsible uses of AI can lead to and deepen discrimination, bias, and other abuses in justice, healthcare, and housing. So these computers are misgendering people.
There's no telling.
The Biden-Harris administration has already taken action by publishing the blueprint for an AI Bill of Rights and issuing an executive order directing agencies to combat algorithmic discrimination while enforcing existing authorities to protect people's rights and safety. To ensure that AI advances equity and civil rights, the president directs the following additional actions. Provide clear guidance to landlords, federal benefits programs, and federal contractors to keep AI algorithms from being used to exacerbate discrimination.
Now, I have to... So, to exacerbate discrimination, what they mean by discrimination is that you would... For an AI having to do with landlords, contractors, stuff like that, to discriminate against someone, what they mean is it's going to look at the data... And it's going to make decisions based on what it's told to do as an AI, like a company says, find me the best landlords, find me the best tenants for this property. And it's going to look at these parameters. The parameters could be things like past convictions, credit rating.
Evictions.
Yeah, evictions, stuff like that. And the AI is going to say, well, okay, well, we looked at all this, and it turns out this person who doesn't have all this stuff is better. And so they're going to call that discrimination because there's going to be a disproportionate people that are minorities that are going to be affected by if a computer does what human beings used to do before they would get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
So that's what they mean by making sure that you advance equity is not paying attention to the data that's necessary to run a good business in these fields. So
the first thing it looks at, though, is skin color, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It's first thing.
No, these are it's looking at the choices that people have made.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it's analyzing choices people have made in their life and whether or not they would be a good fit.
Okay, don't bleep number 8. Okay. America, this is from MSNBC, America has a revenue problem. Blame George W. Bush and Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Even though the national debt is rising, spending can't be blamed.
Nothing to do with spending.
When jobs are plentiful and business profits soar, that means good news for federal tax revenues. At least that's how it's supposed to work. For 15 years after the Tax Reform Act of 1986 went into effect, that's exactly what happened. Changes in the U.S. unemployment rate were a strong predictor of changes in our federal tax revenues as a percentage of GDP. A drop in the unemployment rate caused revenues as a percentage of GDP to increase. But since the beginning of the 21st century, a series of tax cuts under the President George W. Bush and Donald Trump have shattered the link between tax revenues and employment. So what they mean is when unemployment goes down, more people are working, which means there's more money coming in through payroll taxes and income taxes. So if you see unemployment go down, you should see tax revenues go up as a share of the total gross domestic product, all the production services in our economy at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're talking about. But we're not seeing that starting around 2000.
And we're not going to look into how we calculate unemployment.
No, we're not going to look at that at all. Okay. Used to, when the numbers went down, the tax receipts as a percentage of the GDP went up. And now when the unemployment rate goes down, the answer is tax cuts were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After news that the federal deficit grew despite a strong economy and rising interest rates, there are renewed fears about the nation's fiscal outlook. With these fears typically come calls to reduce spending. But the U.S. doesn't have a spending problem. It has a revenue problem caused by tax cuts, mm-hmm. says this person. Now, they go into these years between 1995 and 2000, the time when the unemployment rate fell, the revenues rose from 18% to 20% of GDP. So as we're talking about these numbers, I first have to tell you, I have no clue how they got to this 18% to 20% of GDP. According to the Federal Reserve, the number has never been that high. It's only ever been about 19.5%. The only way that they could do that is if they're taking something out of the GDP, I think, or if they're keeping something now out of the revenues collected. Even the sources that this person provides under the graphs that they put in here still provide numbers that don't match what's written down in the article. So I have not figured that part out. When the unemployment fell a similar amount between 2015 and 2019, going from 5.4 to 3.7, revenues dropped from 17.9 down to 6.3. That's the equivalent of taking in $450 billion less per year. Why did this happen? Because during the same time, the Bush tax cuts and their extensions, and later the Trump tax cuts slash taxes, significantly lowering overall revenue, which is not true. The revenue has continued to just go up and up. Anyway, importantly, a disproportionate share of the benefits from these cuts accrued to very rich Americans. You could also say that as the benefits of the tax cuts accrued to people who pay taxes. Profitable corporations who pay taxes because they're profitable and wealthy heirs to thrones, all the thrones around the around America. We don't have to go through why they're talking about the deficit and all that. I just wanted to show you, so you get the main idea of the article. We don't have a spending problem. We have a tax problem. The taxes are too low. But when you, I guess we can read the last paragraph. The first step in affecting change is proper diagnosis. Those who look to blame spending to close the primary deficit are looking in the wrong place. If not for the regressive tax cuts initiated under Bush and Trump, we would have been looking at a stable debt-to-GDP ratio. Any discussion of how to change our fiscal path should focus first on generating additional revenue lost to these tax cuts.
Oh, I just hate how they call it revenue.
Yeah, that part sucks. So there's like there's a really weird thing that they do here. They show the revenues as a percentage of GDP for 2023 is 16.5%. None of the numbers back up this number. The number is actually a little over 19%. That's important because it undercuts the entire idea behind their article. Even they gave a source for this, and the source said 19.2% or whatever it was. So I don't know where they're just deciding to cut something out or put something else in and come up with 16.5. That's important because the entire argument makes no sense, because according to the Federal Reserve, we are currently at a little over 19% right now with our tax revenue to GDP, tax receipts to GDP right now. This is something that we talked about like a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's important because historically we sit around 17.5%. And we're actually at a height right now that we've only hit 4 years for 4 years in the history of the United States. That's the amount of money that the government is taking out of the productive economy through some type of taxation. And we are actually a little over 19% right now. Like I said, there are only 4 years in U.S. history where we were at 19% or above. What's also going on right now is we were at 24% of our GDP is getting spent. So we're spending 24% of our GDP, and we are taking in 19% of our GDP in taxes. So I have no clue what this person's talking about. Charlie brought up the very first thing that you should look at when their idea is that, well, the unemployment rate went down and we should be making more money, and we're not, therefore blame the tax cuts. The thing is,
and I love the last paragraph when it's like, it has to be a proper diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, your diagnosis is wrong.
But they don't talk about the labor force participation rate, which is what you should actually look at. So they talk about the unemployment rate going down. In 1995 to 2000, the labor force participation rate was around 67 point something behind my amazingly placed circle that I put on the graph, 67 point something. And then during the other time they talked about, which was 2015 to 2019, I believe we're around 62.3 or something, 62.5 around that time. So I know that those numbers don't sound really, really different.
People stopped looking and stopped working and stopped looking. So now they're no longer accounted in unemployment, which means unemployment goes down.
Yes. And so you can't just say that that's automatically going to equal taking in more money, because the unemployment rate going down does not mean that a bigger percentage of the labor force is working. It just means that they're not counted as unemployed anymore. And so it's just and for someone to come off so freaking pompous and better than all of us and properly diagnosing the problem and all of that, to not bring in that simple fact right there, that the year they compared it to, the year 2000, was the highest our labor force participation rate has ever been in the history of the United States. And right now we are back down to the 70s or 60s or something like that with our labor force participation rate. And so, no, you can't just use the unemployment rate to diagnose the fact that we have a revenue problem.
Look, I'm not saying, but I will also, let me be clear here and say that, like, if you have a business or your household, and you have a debt problem or something happening, looking to increase revenues is not a bad thing to do.
Sure.
So, but the problem is the government steals money. So
That is a problem.
When they're looking to increase revenue, it's the how much more theft can I get? But if you're in your house or a business or whatever, obviously, if you have a solvency problem, then you're going to look to increase revenues and cut spending. But you, you got to do both, right? Otherwise, you go under.
Yeah, it's not like the credit card company says, they call you and they're like, hey, your bill's like, wait, we need you to pay this bill. And you're like, no, no, I've got a revenue problem.
Yeah.
Like, no, we need you to, you got to get this.
You're talk spending. To my customers that aren't spending money.
Yeah, the bank calls and said, listen, your spending is out of control right now. You got deficits every month right now. You're like, no, sir, bank, tell her, I've got a revenue problem. They don't care. Right. You got to spend less money. That's the answer.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Get the votes in. Get those votes in real quick. We got AR-15s for one. Number two was Matt Gaetz's Holy War. Number three is Nina Turner, if we can afford anything, we can afford everything. Number four is Chris Christie's free speech. Number five is MAGA Hamas, same thing. Actually, MAGA's worse. Number six is the misgendering. Number seven is AI equity. And number eight is our revenue problem. Go to the Dumb Bleep voting channel and get those votes.
There's really not much to say because I don't want anyone to join the Fed Haters Club.
No.
Go to joingenml.com because I don't want your money.
Honestly. You don't want it.
Nope. Mm-mm. Don't need it.
No.
We don't have a revenue problem here.
No, we don't. No, we don't need more revenue.
The money's flowing in like honey on milk, you know? That's... Don't go pick up a t-shirt at GodHatesFeds.com either.
Definitely not.
There's no reason why you want to do that. Sounds like Nate's going to be creating a new one that's really an old one.
Yeah.
People want to buy it from us, so Ron Paul was right.
We're going to make it.
T-shirt. So
I wish you'd do that for everything. You guys want a new iPhone? I'll make one of those, too. Exactly. You can buy it from us. That way you don't buy it from anyone else.
Yeah, don't buy it from communist Apple, you know? And don't leave us a rating and review or share the show. That's the way I feel about it. Looks like we have a tie. Oh, the tie's been broken. Misgendering wins.
The misgendering is the winner of this week. If you want to get involved in the voting process, make sure you go to joingml.com. That's for our podcast, Good Morning Liberty, that we do every single day of the week. This is called Liberty at Night when we're talking to you at night. So if you want to go to joingml, we'll see you again next Tuesday night on the Free Talk Live Network.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.